Chapter 20. It was just the nine of them then. Gregor felt like all the grown-ups had gone home and left the kids with a rat for a babysitter. Inside, he felt sick and hollow and very young. He looked around the group and realized there was no one he could turn to for protection.
"We may as well get some rest," said Rip Red with a big yawn. "Start fresh in a few hours."
He brushed some cheese crumbs off his fur, curled up in a ball, and was snoring loudly within a minute. No one else knew what to say. Gregor spread his blanket on the floor and called Boots over.
"Go bye-bye?"
asked Boots, pointing in the direction Vicus had departed. "They went bye-bye, Boots. We're going to sleep here. Very bye time." He lay down on the blanket, and she curled up with him without protest. Temp and Tick positioned themselves on either side of them. Were they standing guard? Did they really think there was anything they could do if Rip Red decided to attack them? Still, it was kind of comforting to have them there. Luxa refused to lie down. Aurora came and wrapped her golden wings around her. Ares pressed his black, furry back against Aurora's, and Henry lay at his feet. They could take whatever precautions they wanted to, but Gregor felt sure Rip Red could kill all eight of them in a flash. He'll take out Henry and Luxa first, since they're the only two with weapons, and then just pick off the rest of us, one by one, thought Gregor. Maybe Ares or Aurora could escape, but the rest of them were sitting ducks. That was the truth. He might as well accept it. Oddly enough, once he did accept it, Gregor felt more relaxed. He didn't have any choice but to trust Rip Red. If he could trust Rip Red, then he could go to sleep. So he let himself drift off, trying to push the images of striped spider legs and jagged rat teeth from his brain. What a rotten day it had been. He awoke with a start to a loud slapping sound. He instinctively crouched over Boots until he realized it was just Rip Red smacking his tail against the ground.
"Come on, come on," he growled. "Time to get moving. Feed yourselves and let's go."
Gregor crawled out from under his blanket and waited for Marith to get the food. Then he remembered that Marith was gone. "How do you want to handle this food thing?" he asked Henry.
"Luxa and I do not serve food. We are royalty," said Henry haughtily.
"Yeah, well, I'm the warrior and Boots is a princess, and you two are going to get pretty hungry if you're waiting for me to serve you," said Gregor. He was way over this royalty thing. Rip Red laughed.
"Tell him, boy. Tell him your country fought a war so you wouldn't have to answer to kings and queens."
Gregor looked at Rip Red in surprise. "How do you know that?"
"Oh, I know a great many things about the Overland that our friends here do not. I've spent much time there among your books and papers," said Rip Red.
"You can read?" asked Gregor.
"Most rats read. Our frustration is we cannot hold a pen to write. Now move, Overlander. Eat. Don't eat, but let's go," ordered Rip Red.
Gregor went to the packs of food to check out the supplies. It was mostly smoked meat, bread, and those sweet potato things. He guessed they might have enough food for 3 days, if they were careful. Of course, Rip Red ate like a pig, and he would probably expect them to feed him. Okay, maybe 2 days. Luxa came over and sat awkwardly at his side.
"What?" Gregor said.
"How do we make the food?" she asked.
"What do you mean?" he asked.
"Henry and I, we have never actually prepared food," admitted Luxa. Gregor could see Henry scowling at Luxa, but she did not look at him.
"You mean you never even made yourself a sandwich?" asked Gregor.
He couldn't cook much, but if his mom had to work late, he'd make dinner sometimes. Just stuff like scrambled eggs or macaroni and cheese, but he could get by. "A sandwich? Is this a dish named in honor of Bartholomew of Sandwich?" she asked, puzzled. Gregor said, "I really don't know.
It's two slices of bread with meat or cheese or peanut butter or something between them.
I have not made a sandwich, said Luxa.
But it's not hard. Here, slice off some pieces of meat, not too thick, he said, handing her a knife.
Gregor sawed away at the bread, managing to get 18 slices out of one loaf.
Luxa did a pretty good job with the meat, but then she was used to handling blades. He showed her how to assemble the sandwiches, and she seemed somewhat pleased with her accomplishment. She took 4 for herself, her cousin, and the bats. Gregor took the other 5. It would be asking too much of her to serve Rip Red and the roaches.
He roused Boots, and she started right in on her sandwich. Temp and Tick gave polite nods of thanks for theirs. Then Gregor approached Rip Red, who was leaning sulkily in the tunnel. He held out a sandwich.
Here, he said.
For me?
Said Rip Red with exaggerated surprise.
How very thoughtful of you. I'm sure the rest of your party would be happy to see me starve.
If you starve, I'll never find my dad, said Gregor.
Quite true, said Rip Red, popping the entire sandwich in his mouth. It's good we have this understanding. Mutual need is a strong bond, stronger than friendship, stronger than love.
Do rats love? Said Gregor dryly.
Oh, yes, said Rip Red with a smirk. We love ourselves very much.
Figures, thought Gregor. He went and sat with Boots, who was polishing off her sandwich.
More, said Boots, pointing at Gregor's uneaten sandwich. He was ravenous, but he couldn't let her go hungry.
He started to break his sandwich in half when Temp delicately pushed his sandwich in front of Boots.
The princess may eat mine, said Temp.
You need to eat too, Temp, objected Gregor.
Not much, said Temp. Tick will share her food with me.
Her food? So Tick must be a girl roach.
He will share with me, said Tick.
And Temp was a guy. Not that it made any difference to Gregor. It was just one more way he could avoid insulting the bugs. Since Boots had already munched halfway through Temp's sandwich, Gregor accepted. He'd try to give them part of his food at the next meal. Breakfast was finished in 2 minutes, and they packed up. They were starting to mount Ares and Aurora when Rip Red stopped them.
Don't bother. You cannot fly where we go, he said, and indicated the tunnel.
It was barely 6 feet high and only a few feet wide.
We're going in there?
Isn't there another way to get to my dad? Asked Gregor. He didn't want to head into the dark, narrow space with Rip Red, even if they had mutual need.
There is another way, but not a better way. Unless you know one, said Rip Red.
Gregor could feel Ares and Aurora twitching in distress. What about the bats?
I'm sure you'll work that out, drawled Rip Red.
Can you walk? Gregor asked Ares.
Not long, not far, said Ares.
Well, then we'll have to carry you, said Gregor.
Ride you, flyers, ride you?
Asked Temp.
Flyers do not ride crawlers, said Aurora edgily.
Why not? They rode on you, said Gregor. He was tired of everybody being snooty to the roaches. They never complained, and they pulled their weight, and they looked after Boots. All in all, the bugs were the easiest traveling companions. The bats fluttered, but didn't answer.
Well, I'm not carrying you. I've already got Boots and a pack of pot roasts, and Luxa and Henry can't carry you both. So if you're too good to ride on the crawlers, I guess you'd better ask Rip Red for a lift.
Do not use that tone with them, snapped Luxa. They do not sneer at the crawlers. It is the smallness of the tunnel. Flyers do not like a place they cannot spread their wings.
Yeah, well, half of us haven't been having much fun flying hundreds of feet in the air either, said Gregor.
He realized he was beginning to sound like a jerk. Ares and Aurora had not been mean or impatient when he and the roaches were scared of flying.
Look, I know it'll be hard, but I'm sure the whole trip won't be in such small tunnels. Right, Rip Red?
Oh, surely not the whole trip,
said Rip-Red, bored to pieces by the argument.
Can we start? Please? The war will be over before we decide our travel plans.
We will ride with the crawlers, said Ares shortly. Gregor helped Luke and Henry set the bats on the roaches' backs. They had to lie face down and cling to the smooth shells with their claws. Gregor had to admit it looked like an uncomfortable way to travel. He tucked Boots in the backpack and picked up his share of the food.
Okay,
lead the way, he said to Rip-Red.
Finally, Rip-Red said, and slid into the black hole of the tunnel.
Henry followed next, with a torch and a drawn sword. Gregor guessed he was trying to give the bats some feeling of protection. They went next, single file, on the roaches. Gregor waited for Luxa to enter the tunnel, but she shook her head. No, Overlander. I think it best that I cover our backs. Probably, said Gregor, realizing he still didn't have a sword. He went into the tunnel, giving Boots the flashlight to hold. Luxa brought up the rear. It was awful. Cramped and airless, with some foul liquid that smelled like rotten eggs dripping from the ceiling. The bats were stiff with discomfort, but the crawlers seemed at home.
Ick, said Boots, as a drop of liquid landed on Gregor's hard hat. Icky.
Yeah, ick, ick, icky, agreed Gregor. He hoped the tunnel wasn't long. You could go crazy pretty fast in here. He turned back to check on Luxa. She didn't look happy, but she was managing. What means this icky? She asked him.
Icky. Yucky, gross, nasty. Foul, said Gregor.
Yes, that describes well the rat's land, said Luxa, with a sniff. Hey, Luxa, he said. How come you were surprised when Rip-Red showed up? I mean, I don't really know the prophecy, but you do. Didn't you expect a rat?
No. I thought one gnawer beside meant a rat would be tracking us, perhaps even chasing us. I never imagined he would be part of the quest, she said.
Vikas said we can trust him, said Gregor.
Vikas says many things, said Luxa.
She sounded so angry that Gregor decided to let the conversation drop. They trudged on for a while in silence. From the periodic splashes on his face, Gregor knew that Boots must be getting wet. He tried to put his hard hat on her, but it kept slipping off. Finally, he dug out some catch cloths and tied them on Boots' head. The last thing they needed was for her to catch a cold. After several dismal hours, everyone was soaked and miserable. Rip-Red led them into a small cavern. The smelly water ran down along the sides of the place, like rain. The bats were so stiff that Luxa and Henry had to lift them off the roaches and help straighten out their wings. Rip-Red lifted his nose in the air and took a deep sniff.
There. That has done much to conceal your odor, he said with satisfaction.
You mean you just took us that way so we'd all smell like rotten eggs? Said Gregor.
Quite necessary. As a pack, you are highly repugnant, said Rip-Red.
Gregor was too worn out to argue. He and Luxa opened up the packs and doled out food. No one felt like talking. Rip-Red swallowed his lunch in a gulp and stood in the entrance to the tunnel. They were just finishing up when the bats went tense.
Spinners, warned Aurora.
Yes, yes, they've been on our trail almost since we started our journey. I cannot smell how many in this place, with all the water. What can they want, I wonder?
Rip-Red flicked his tail at Luxa and Henry and gave an order.
3-point arc, you two.
Luxa and Henry exchanged a look and didn't move.
3-point arc, and this is no time to test my authority, pups,
growled Rip-Red, baring his terrible teeth. Henry and Luxa reluctantly took places on either side of Rip-Red, but back a few feet. The three formed a small arc between the rest of the party and the tunnel entrance. The bats took positions behind them. Gregor strained his ears.
but all he could hear was the water falling. Was there an army of spiders after them? He felt, as usual, unarmed and defenseless. He didn't even have a root beer this time. Everyone became motionless. Gregor could tell that Temp and Tick sensed the invaders now, too. Boots solemnly sucked on a cookie, but didn't make a sound. Gregor could see the muscles rippling in anticipation along Rip Red's broad gray back as the spinners approached. He braced himself for a wave of bloodthirsty spiders, but it never came. A large orange spider with a small brown spider on its back staggered in and collapsed on the floor. The brown one was oozing a strange blue liquid. It made a great effort to sit up. Its front legs brushed its chest as it spoke.
"Vicus sends us. Gnawers attacked webs. Many spinners lost. We too. We join the quest."
And with that, the brown spider fell over, dead. Chapter 21. Gregor looked at the spider in shock. In its final moments, it had rolled onto its back and curled up its legs. Blue liquid seeped out of a wound in its belly, staining the stone floor.
"So we're all here," said Gregor softly.
"What do you mean?" asked Henry. Gregor pulled the prophecy from his pocket. "Sandwich was right. We're all here together. At least we were for a few seconds." He read aloud. "Two over, two under, of royal descent. Two flyers, two crawlers, two spinners ascent. One gnawer beside, and one lost up ahead." He couldn't bring himself to say the next line, but Ripred could.
"And eight will be left when we count up the dead." "Well, one down and three to go," said Ripred,
poking the spider with the end of his tail. "Stop it," said Gregor.
"Oh, what? We can't pretend that any of us was very attached to this spinner? We don't even know its name. Except maybe you,"
Ripred said to the orange spider.
"Treflex," said the orange spider. "I am she called Gox."
"Well, Gox, I suppose you're hungry after your journey. But our food is limited. None of us will think less of you if you'd like to dine on Treflex," said Ripred.
Gox immediately began to pump juice into Treflex. "She's not going to—" "Oh, man," said Gregor.
"Spiders are neither squeamish nor sentimental," said Ripred. "Thank goodness for that."
Gregor turned away so neither he nor Boots had to watch the cannibalism. He was glad to see that Henry and Luxa looked a little green, too. "Look, if anything happens to me or Boots, don't let that spinner drink us. Toss us off the cliff, in a river, anything, okay?" he said. They both nodded. "You will return the same favor for us," said Luxa, wanly. "And our bats?" "And Tick and Temp, too, I promise," said Gregor. He could hear the slow sucking sounds as Gox drained Treflex's body. "Jeez," he added. Fortunately, it didn't take Gox long to eat. Ripred began to grill her about the rat attack. She told him an entire army, several hundred rats at least, had invaded the land of the spiders. The spiders had held them off, but many had died on both sides before the rats had finally retreated. Vicus had come by after the carnage, and had sent Gox and Treflex on his bat to the tunnel entrance.
"Why?" asked Gox. "Why do the gnawers kill us?"
"I don't know. It may be that King Gorger has launched a total underland attack, or it may be that they caught wind of two overlanders heading toward our land. Did they mention the warrior of the Prophecy of Grey?" asked Ripred.
"There were no words, only death,"
said Gox.
It is quite fortunate you found us. It would have taken much time to free two spinners from King Gorga's prisons unnoticed. And we have no time to waste, said Ripred to Gox.
He turned to Gregor.
This attack on the spinners does not bode well for your father.
Why? What? Why not? Asked Gregor, feeling his insides go icy.
Vicus has done a remarkable job of concealing you. No rat save me has seen you and lived to tell of it. The rats do not know the warrior has arrived, but the fact that humans have brought overlanders to the spinners will make them suspicious, said Ripred.
The wheels seemed to be visibly turning in his head.
Still, there is much confusion in war, and no rat has identified you. We move on now.
No one argued. They packed up and headed out the far side of the cavern into a drier, roomier tunnel. Aurora and Ares were able to fly now, although the space was dangerous for riders. We shall go on foot, Luxa told Aurora. Even if you carry the rest of us, what will be done with the Gnor? So the bats took to the air with the remaining packs. Gregor watched them enviously. Lucky I'm not a bat. I might just fly out of here and not look back. Aurora and Ares would never do that. They are bonded to myself and Henry, said Luxa. How does that work exactly? Asked Gregor. When a bat and a human bond, they swear to fight to the death for each other, said Luxa. Aurora would never leave me in danger, nor I her. Does everybody have a bat? Asked Gregor, thinking it would be nice to know somebody was going to hang around and defend you in this place. Oh, no. Some never find a bat to bond with. I became one with Aurora when I was quite young, but this is not common, said Luxa. How come you bonded so early? Asked Gregor. After my parents were killed, I went through a time when I never felt safe on the ground. I spent all my waking hours in the air on Aurora. It is why we fly so well together, she said simply. Vicus convinced the council to allow us to bond early. After that, I was not so afraid. Are you afraid now? Said Gregor. At times, she admitted. But it is no worse than if I were in regalia. You see, I tire of constant fear, so I made a decision. Every day when I wake, I tell myself that it will be my last. If you are not trying to hold on to time, you are not so afraid of losing it. Gregor thought this was the single saddest thing anyone had ever said to him. He couldn't answer. And then, if you make it to bedtime, you feel the joy of cheating death out of one more day, she said. Do you see? I think so, said Gregor numbly. An awful thought struck him. Wasn't Luke's strategy just an extreme form of his own rule? True, he didn't think about dying every day, but he denied himself the luxury of thinking about the future with or without his dad. If he hadn't fallen through the grate in his laundry room and discovered his dad was still alive, if his dad had never come home, how long would he have gone on refusing to be happy? His whole life? Maybe, he thought. Maybe my whole life. Gregor hurried on with the conversation. So, how do you actually bond with a bat? He asked Luxa. It is a simple ceremony. Many bats and humans gather. You stand face to face with your bat and say a vow. Like so, said Luxa, extending her hand and reciting a poem. Aurora the Flyer, I bond to you. Our life and death are one, we two. In dark, in flame, in war, in strife, I save you as I save my life. And then your bat recites it back, but using your name. Then there is a feast, concluded Luxa. So what happens if one of you breaks the vow, like if Aurora flew off and left you in danger? Asked Gregor. Aurora would not. But a few vows have been broken.
The punishment is severe. The one at fault is banished to live alone in the Underland, said Luxa, and no one lives long in the Underland alone.
Fascinating as your native rituals are, do you think we might proceed in silence, given that the entire Rat Nation is on the lookout for us? It might be prudent, said Ripred.
Luxa and Gregor shut up. Gregor wished they could talk more. Luxa acted differently when she wasn't with Henry, friendlier, less arrogant. But Ripred was right about the noise. Fortunately, Boots dozed off. For several hours, all they heard were the light tap of their footsteps and the scraping sound of Ripred's teeth on a bone he'd saved from lunch. Gregor felt consumed with new worries about his dad. From what Ripred had said, it seemed like the rats might kill him to keep Gregor from reaching him. But why? That wouldn't change the prophecy, would it? He guessed no one really knew. And what about that last stanza? He unrolled the prophecy and read it so many times he memorized it without trying. The last who will die must decide where he stands. The fate of the eight is contained in his hands. So bid him take care, bid him look where he leaps, as life may be death, and death life again reaps. He couldn't make heads or tails of it. All he could figure out was that whoever died fourth had a pretty big responsibility to the eight who were still living. But how? What? Where? When? The final stanza of the Prophecy of Grey left out all the details that would have made it useful. Ripred kept them moving until everyone was stumbling with fatigue. He gave the order to stop in a cavern that at least had a dry floor and a spring with drinkable water. Gregor and Luxa passed around their dwindling food, which was disappearing much faster than he had anticipated. He tried to object when the roaches gave their food to Boots, thinking he would share his own.
Let them feed her, said Ripred. A crawler can live a month with no food if it has water. And don't bother feeding Gox. Treflex will hold her for longer than our journey will last.
The cavern was cold. Gregor stripped off Boots's damp clothes and put on a fresh set. Something was wrong with her. She seemed too quiet, and her skin was clammy and cold. He curled up under the blanket with her, trying to warm her up. What would he do if she got sick? They needed to be home with his mom, who always knew just the combination of juice and medicine and pillows to make it all right. He tried to console himself with the idea that his dad could help when they found him. Everyone was so tired from their trek that they fell asleep immediately. Something woke Gregor from a heavy sleep. A sound? A movement? He wasn't sure. All he knew was that when he opened his eyes, Henry was standing over Ripred, ready to plunge his sword into the sleeping rat's back. Chapter 22. Gregor opened his mouth to scream, "No!" just as Ripred's eyes flickered. Henry was behind the rat. All Ripred could have seen was the expression on Gregor's face, but it was enough. In the split second Henry drove the blade down, Ripred flipped onto his back and slashed his terrible claws. The sword cut across the rat's chest as Ripred tore a deep gash along Henry's arm. About this time, Gregor's "no" had actually left his mouth, and his yell woke up most of the party. Ripred rose up on his hind legs, bleeding, furious, and terrifying to see. Henry looked weak and small by comparison. He could barely lift his sword with his injured arm. Luxa and Aurora were instantly airborne. Ares flew straight for the rat. But Gregor got there first. He sprang between Ripred and Henry with his arms spread out. "Stop!" he cried. "Stop!" Unbelievably, everyone paused. Gregor guessed this was the first time any of them had ever seen someone try to come between a fighting rat
and a human. Their second of hesitation gave him just enough time to blurt out, "Anybody who wants to kill anybody else has to go through me first." Not particularly poetic, but it had the desired effect. No one wanted Gregor dead. Everyone knew the warrior was essential to the quest. "Move, Overlander! The rat will kill us all," ordered Luxa, preparing to dive at Ripred.
"The rat was merely trying to sleep.
Believe me, pup, if I had wanted to kill you, you would not be having this conversation," said Ripred.
"Do not waste your lies on us, Nor," said Luxa. "Do you think we would believe your word over one of our own?" "It's true. He's telling the truth. He didn't start it. It was Henry," Gregor shouted. "He was trying to kill Ripred in his sleep." Everyone turned to Henry, who spat back at them. "Yes, and he would be dead now were it not for the Overlander." Now there was confusion. Gregor could tell by the look on Luxa's face she hadn't known about Henry's plan. She'd assumed Ripred had attacked first. She didn't know what to do next. "Stop, Luxa, please," said Gregor. "We can't afford to lose any more questers here. We have to stick together." He'd made up the word questers on the spot, and it seemed right. Luxa slowly descended to the ground, but stayed on Aurora's back. Ares hovered uncertainly in the air. Gregor wondered if the bat had known about Henry's plan, but if he had, why hadn't they attacked together from the air? It was so hard to tell what the bats were thinking. Gregor noticed for the first time that Temp and Tick were literally standing over the sleeping Boots, shielding her. Gox still perched on the makeshift web she'd built at bedtime. "It's over," Gregor said with an authority he didn't know he possessed. "Put down your sword, Henry. Ripred, just sit down. It's over."
Would they listen to him? Gregor didn't know, but he was determined to hold his ground. It was a long, tense moment. Then Ripred lowered his lips back over his bared fangs and broke into a laugh.
"I will say this for you, warrior. You do not lack boldness."
Henry let his sword clatter to the ground, which was no big concession since Gregor saw he could barely hold it.
"Or treachery," said Henry softly.
Gregor narrowed his eyes at Henry. "You know where I come from? We don't think much of someone who sneaks up and stabs a person in their sleep."
"He's not a person, he's a rat," said Henry. "If you cannot make the distinction, you may surely count yourself among the dead."
Gregor held Henry's cold gaze. He knew that later he would think of several tough things he should have said to Henry, but he couldn't think of any now. Instead, he turned to Luxa and said gruffly, "We'd better patch them up." They weren't much better at first aid than they were at cooking, but Luxa at least knew what ointment to use. Gox turned out to be the biggest help of all. She spun a special web and instructed them to press handfuls of the silky threads into the injuries. In minutes, the bleeding on both Henry's arm and Ripred's chest had stopped. While Gregor patted extra layers of silk onto Ripred's matted fur, the rat muttered,
"I suppose I ought to thank you."
"Forget about it," said Gregor. "I only did it because I need you." He didn't want Ripred thinking they were friends or anything.
"Did you? I'm glad," said Ripred. "I thought I detected in you a sense of fair play. Most dangerous in the Underland, boy."
Gregor wished everybody would just shut up about what was dangerous to him in the Underland. The whole place was one big minefield. He ignored Ripred's comment and continued to apply the spider webs. Behind him, he heard Luxa whisper to Henry,
"Why did you not tell us?"
"To keep you safe," Henry whispered back.
Safe, thought Gregor. Right.
Even if he got back to the Overland, Gregor didn't think he would ever feel safe again.
"You must not do this again, Henry," he heard Luxa say. "You cannot take him alone."
"I could have, if the Overlander had not interfered," said Henry.
"No, the risk is too great, and we may have need of him," said Luxa. "Let the rat be."
Is that an order, Your Highness? Asked Henry with a slight edge to his voice.
If that is the only way you will heed my advice, then yes, said Luxa earnestly. Hold your sword until we better understand our condition.
You speak most exactly like that old fool Vicus, said Henry.
No, I speak as myself, said Luxa, stung,
and as one who wishes us both to survive.
The cousins realized their voices had risen to the point where everyone could hear them, so they stopped talking.
In the silence, Rip Red resumed gnawing on the bone he'd been carrying around. The scraping grated on Gregor's nerves.
Do you think you could stop that, please? He asked.
No, actually I can't, said Rip Red. Rats' teeth continue to grow our entire lives, which necessitates gnawing to keep them at a manageable length. If I didn't gnaw frequently, my lower teeth would soon grow through the top of my skull and puncture my brain, and alas, kill me.
Glad I asked, said Gregor, slapping a last piece of web on Rip Red and leaning back against the cavern wall. So now what?
Well, since obviously no one's going back to Dreamland, we may as well make tracks for your father, said Rip Red, rising to his feet.
Gregor went to get Boots. As soon as he touched her, he felt alarmed. Her face was burning like a furnace. Oh, no, he said helplessly.
Hey, Boots. Hey, little girl.
He gently shook her shoulder. She whimpered something in her sleep, but didn't wake up.
Luxa, something's wrong.
Boots is sick, he said. Luxa laid her hand on Boots' forehead.
She is fevered. She has caught some pestilence from the land of rats.
Pestilence. Gregor hoped that wasn't as serious as it sounded. Luxa dug through the vials Solovet had left with them and held one up uncertainly.
I think this is for fever.
Rip Red took a sniff and wrinkled his nose.
No, that kills pain.
He buried his snout in the pack and rooted out a blue glass bottle.
You need this one. Give her only a few drops. She cannot handle more at her size.
Gregor was reluctant to give her any of the strange medicine, but Boots was so hot. He slipped a few drops between her lips and thought she swallowed it. He tried to lift her up to put her in the pack, and she moaned in pain. He bit his lip.
She can't ride with me. It hurts her.
They laid Boots on a blanket on Temp's back. Gox spun a web to secure her to the shell. Gregor felt sick with worry.
And 8 will be left when we count up the dead.
He couldn't lose Boots. He just couldn't. He had to get her home. He should have left her in Regalia. He should never have agreed to the quest. If anything happened to Boots, it would be his fault.
The gloom of the tunnel soaked through his skin and into his veins. He wanted to scream out in pain, but the darkness choked him. He would have given almost anything for just one glimpse of the sun. The party limped along slowly, painfully, suspiciously, preoccupied by the worries they all shared, but no one spoke aloud. Even Rip Red, by far the most hardened of the group, seemed to hunch down under the weight of the situation.
This general despair was just one of the reasons they didn't detect the score of rats until they were almost on top of them. Even Rip Red could not distinguish the smell of rats in a place reeking of rats. The bats couldn't sense them in the narrow tunnel as they approached the increasingly loud river. The humans could see nothing in the gloom.
Rip Red led them out of the tunnel into a huge cavern divided by a deep canyon. A wide, powerful river ran through it. A swinging bridge spanned the river. It must have been made with the combined efforts of several species in better times. Thick silk, woven by the spiders, supported thin slats of stone cut by the humans. They must have needed the bats' flying abilities, too, to build such a bridge. When Gregor shone his flashlight up to see how the bridge was secured, he caught sight of them. 20 rats, sitting motionless on the rocks above the opening to the tunnel, right above their heads. waiting.
Run!
Rip-Red yelled, and literally snapped his teeth at Gregor's heels. Gregor stumbled forward onto the bridge and began to cross, his feet slipping on the worn stone slats. He could feel Rip-Red's hot breath on his neck. Henry and Luxa were flying ahead of him, jetting across the river. He was halfway across when he remembered Boots wasn't on his back. She had been with him so continuously on the journey, he had begun to think of them as inseparable, but now she was on Temp. Gregor turned abruptly to go back. Rip-Red, as if anticipating just this move, spun Gregor forward and snagged the backpack with his teeth. Gregor felt himself lifted into the air as Rip-Red ran flat out for the far side of the river.
Boots! Yelled Gregor. Boots!
Rip-Red moved like lightning. As he reached the opposite bank, he dumped Gregor on the ground and joined Luxa and Henry, who were frantically trying to hack through the silk ropes supporting the bridge. Gregor aimed his flashlight and saw that Gox was about three-quarters of the way across. Behind her, carrying his sister, Temp struggled along with Boots. Between Boots and the 20 killer rats that were now streaming across the bridge, there was only Tick.
Boots!
Gregor screamed and dove back for the bridge. Rip-Red's tail caught him across the chest and flung him back onto the ground, knocking the wind from him. He gasped, trying to fill his lungs, then got to his knees and crawled toward the bridge. He had to help her. He had to. Gox zipped off the bridge and began to snap threads with her jaws.
No!
Coughed Gregor.
My sister!
He pulled up to his feet, just in time to catch another blow from Rip-Red's tail. The roaches were within 10 feet of the bank when the rats caught up with them. There was no decision between them. It was as if the bugs had worked out this whole scenario long ago. Temp put on a burst of speed for the end of the bridge, and Tick turned to face down the army of rats alone. As they bounded at her, Tick flew directly into the face of the lead rat, causing it to startle back in surprise. Until that moment, Gregor hadn't even realized the roaches had wings. Maybe the rats didn't know either. But it didn't take them long to recover. The lead rat sprang forward and crushed Tick's head in its jaws. Temp collapsed on the bank just as the bridge gave way. 20 rats, the leader still holding Tick in its teeth, plunged into the river below. As if this sight wasn't horrific enough, the water churned as enormous piranha-like fish surfaced and fed on the screaming rats. In a minute, it was all over. The water ran smoothly. The rats had vanished. And Tick was gone forever. Chapter 23.
Move it! Move it! Move it!
Instructed Rip-Red, herding them all from the open bank and into a tunnel. He forced them along for a few minutes until they were well out of sight and, hopefully, out of smell of the tunnel entrance. At a small chamber, he gave the order to halt.
Stop you! Sit you! Slow your hearts!
Wordlessly, the remaining members of the quest sunk to the floor of the tunnel. Gregor sat with Temp, his back to the others. He pawed up Temp's back, found Boots's hot little fingers, and entwined them with his own. He had almost lost her. Lost her for good. She would never have had the chance to meet their dad, or get back to his mom's arms, or play in the sprinkler with him and Lizzie, or do anything ever again. He did not want to look at the rest of the questers. Every one of them would have watched Boots and the crawlers fall into the river to stop the rats. He had nothing to say to them. And then there was Tick. Brave little Tick, who had flown into the face of an army of rats to save his baby sister. Tick, who never spoke much. Tick, who shared her food. Tick, who was, after all, just a roach. Just a roach who had given all the time she had left so that Boots could have more. Gregor pressed Boots's fingers against his lips and felt scalding tears began to slide down his cheeks. He hadn't cried, not the whole time he'd been down here, and there had been plenty of bad stuff. But somehow, Tick's sacrifice had crushed whatever thin shell remained between him and sorrow. From now on, he felt an allegiance to the roaches that he knew would never fade. He would never again take a roach's life, not here and not, if by some miracle they made it home, in the Overland. He felt his shoulders begin to shake. Probably the others thought he was ridiculous, crying over a roach. But he didn't care. He hated them. He hated them all. Temp, whose antennas had drooped down over his head, reached out and touched Gregor with a feeler.
Thank you. To weep when Tick has lost time.
Boots would weep too if she weren't. Gregor couldn't go on as another wave of sobs swept over him. He was glad Boots hadn't witnessed Tick's death. She would have been upset, and she wouldn't have understood it. He didn't really understand it either. Gregor felt a hand on his shoulder and jerked away. He knew it was Luxa, but he didn't want to talk to her.
Gregor, she whispered sadly. Gregor, know you we would have caught Boots and Temp if they fell. We would have caught Tick, too, had there been any reason.
He pressed his hand against his eyes to stop his tears and nodded. Well, at least that was a little better. Of course Luxa would have dived after Boots if she'd fallen. The Underlanders didn't worry about falling the way he did, not with their bats.
It's okay, he said.
I know. When Luxa sat beside him, he didn't move away. I guess you think it's pretty stupid, me crying over a roach.
You do not yet know the Underlanders if you think we lack tears, said Luxa. We weep. We weep, and not just for ourselves.
Not for Tick, though, said Gregor with a trace of bitterness.
I have not wept since the death of my parents, said Luxa quietly. But I am thought to be unnatural in this respect.
Gregor felt more tears slipping down his cheeks when he thought of how badly you had to be hurt to lose the ability to cry. He forgave Luxa everything at that moment. He even forgot why he needed to forgive her.
Gregor, she said softly when his tears had stopped, if you return to Regalia, and I do not, tell Vicus that I understood.
Understood what? Asked Gregor.
Why he left us with Ripred, said Luxa. We had to have a gnawer. I see now he was trying to protect us.
Okay, I'll tell him, said Gregor, wiping his nose. He was quiet for a minute, and then he asked, so, how often do we give Boots that medicine? She still feels pretty hot.
Let us dose her now before we move on, said Luxa, stroking Boots' forehead.
Boots murmured in her sleep but didn't wake up. They slipped a few more drops from the bottle between her lips. Gregor stood up and tried to shake off the pain.
Let's get going, he said, not looking at Ripred.
The rat had been in tons of wars. He'd probably seen lots of creatures killed. He told Gox to eat Treflex. Gregor was sure Tick's death affected him as little as, well, as swatting a roach affected people in New York. But when Ripred spoke, his voice lacked its usual snide tone.
Take heart, Overlander. Your father is nearby.
Gregor lifted his head at the words. How nearby?
An hour's walk, no more, said Ripred. But so are his guards. We must all proceed with extreme caution. Bind your feet in webs, speak not, and stay close behind me. We had rare luck at the bridge. I do not think it follows us where now we go.
Gox, whom Gregor was beginning to appreciate more as time passed, quickly spun thick silk slippers to pad their feet. As Gregor held his flashlight for Luxa to put on her pair, the light faded. He dug in his pack and came up with the last two batteries.
How much longer can your torchlight last? Gregor asked Luxa.
He had noticed they'd gone to one torch when they met up with Ripred, apparently to conserve fuel. Now the one torch burned low.
A short time only, admitted Luxa. Your light stick?
I don't know, said Gregor.
These are my last batteries, and I don't know how much power's left in them.
Once we have your father, we will not need light. Ares and Aurora can get us home in the dark, said Luxa encouragingly.
They're going to have to, said Gregor.
The questers regrouped. Ripred led with Temp and Boots behind him. The tunnel was large enough for Gregor and Gox to walk beside them. Aurora and Ares fluttered along next, making short, silent flights. Henry and Luxa brought up the rear on foot, swords drawn. Ripred gave them a nod, and they started off, deep, deep, into enemy territory. They tiptoed along, scarcely daring to breathe. Gregor froze every time a pebble moved beneath his foot, thinking he had triggered another rat assault. He was very afraid. But a new emotion was rising up in him, giving him strength to keep putting one foot in front of the other. It was hope. It flowed through him, insisting that he break his rule. His father was nearby. He would see him soon. If only they could keep moving forward undetected, he would see him soon. When they had been creeping along for about half an hour, Ripred suddenly stopped at a bend in the tunnel. The whole party pulled up behind him. Ripred's nose twitched furiously, and he crouched. A pair of rats sprang from around the bend. In an impossible move, Ripred tore out one's throat with his teeth, while his back feet blinded the second. In another flash, both rats lay dead. No one else had had time to raise a hand. Ripred's defense confirmed what Gregor had suspected the first moment he'd looked in his eyes. Even among rats, Ripred was lethal. Ripred wiped his muzzle on one of the dead rats and spoke in a whisper.
Those were the guards to this passage. We are about to enter open space. Stay against the wall, single file, for the earth is unstable and the fall immeasurable.
Everyone nodded numbly, still stunned by his ferocity.
It's all right, he added. Remember, I'm on your side.
Around the bend of the tunnel was the opening. Ripred made a right turn, and they peeled off in single file behind him. A narrow path led along the side of a canyon. When Gregor shone his light into it, he saw nothing but blackness. And the fall is immeasurable, he thought. The ground under his left foot, the one closest to the void, crumbled and sent a shower of stone and dirt into the darkness. Gregor never heard it hit the bottom. His only consolation was that Aurora and Ares were inching along somewhere behind him, ready to save anyone who fell. After about 50 yards, they reached the more solid ground that fanned out from one end of the canyon. A natural arch of stone framed a wide road, worn smooth by many rat feet. Ripred picked up speed as they crossed under the arch, and Gregor felt that any protection the terrain had given them was gone. Ripred, Temp, Gox, and Gregor raced down the road. Luxa and Henry had instinctively taken to the air. Gregor felt as if rat eyes must be burning at them from every crevice. The path ended abruptly at a deep circular pit with walls as smooth as ice. A faint light burned in the pit, revealing a furry creature hunched over a stone slab, fiddling with something. At first, Gregor raised a warning hand. He thought it was a rat. Then the creature lifted its head, and Gregor recognized what was left of his dad.
Chapter 24.
The man who had disappeared from Gregor's life 2 years, 7 months, and who knew how many days ago, had been the picture of health. Strong, tall, and vibrant, energy had seemed to pour right out of him. The man squinting up at them from the pit was so thin and weak, His attempt to stand failed. He fell on all fours, then lifted one hand to help tilt his own head back.
Dad?
Gregor tried to say, but all the moisture had left his mouth. He dropped to his own knees at the side of the pit and reached out a hand futilely. They were 50 feet apart, but he reached anyway. Luxa and Henry flew down, helped the pitiful form onto Aurora's back, and carried him up. Still on his knees, Gregor clutched his father's hands, once so strong and capable. As he felt the bones beneath his fingers, he remembered how his dad used to crack walnuts with his hands.
Dad?
He said. And this time he could be heard.
Dad, it's me. Gregor.
His father frowned as if trying to remember something.
It's the fever. I'm seeing things again.
No, Dad, it's me. I'm here. And Boots is here, too, said Gregor.
Boots?
Said his dad. He frowned again, and Gregor remembered he had never seen Boots. She had been born after he fell.
Margaret,
Gregor corrected himself. As soon as his mom was pregnant, his parents had planned to name Boots Margaret after his dad's grandma.
Margaret?
Said his dad, now thoroughly confused. He rubbed his eyes.
Grandma?
The prophecy had named one lost up ahead. But Gregor had not expected to find his dad as lost as this. He was skeletal and weak. And what had happened to his hair and beard? They were snow white. Gregor touched his father's shoulder and realized he was wearing a cloak made of rat fur. No wonder he had looked like a rat from above.
Just want to sleep,
said his father, vaguely. This was the scariest part of all. Gregor had thought he would get a parent back when he found his dad. Then he could stop having to make hard decisions. He could just be a kid. But the man before him was even needier than Boots was. Luxa laid her hand on his dad's cheek and frowned. He burns like your sister, and he has no strength to fight it. This is why he speaks in confusion. Maybe if I talk to him a minute, he'll remember. He's got to remember, Luxa, said Gregor desperately. We must fly now, Gregor, insisted Luxa, tipping a large swallow from the blue bottle into his dad's mouth. We shall heal him properly in regalia. Henry, help me secure him. She tried to tie his dad to Aurora with a length of silk that Gox was rapidly spinning. Henry, said Luxa again. But Henry stood apart from them, not helping, not hurrying, not even bothering to seem anxious. No, Luxa, we have no need to hurry now. It was a strange answer. No one understood what he was saying, except Ripred. An odd look crossed the rat's face.
No. I believe Henry has taken care of everything.
Henry had to, said Henry. He lifted his fingers to his lips and gave a long whistle. Are you crazy? What are you doing? Asked Gregor. He looked at Luxa, who seemed to have turned to marble. The silk rope slipped from her hands and fell to the ground. The patter of many rat feet came at them down the road. What was going on? What had Henry done? Ripred, said Gregor.
It seems I'm not the only spy among us, Overlander, said Ripred Riley. A member of the royal family, too.
You mean Henry?
Gregor would never in a million years have believed Henry to be a spy for the rats. They had killed his parents, his people.
He can't be, blurted out Gregor. He can't. I mean, what about Luxa?
The two were so tight. Sorry, cousin, said Henry urgently to Luxa, but I had no choice. We were headed for disaster under Vicus. He would ally us to the weakest, when our only real chance of survival is to ally ourselves with those who are most powerful. We will join forces with the rats and rule together, you and I.
Luxa spoke more calmly than Gregor had ever heard her.
Not now, Henry. Not ever.
You must, Luxa. You have no choice. You must join with us or die, said Henry coldly. But there was a tremor in his voice.
This is as good a day as any, said Luxa.
Perhaps better.
She sounded 1,000 years old and 1,000 miles away, but she did not sound scared.
So they promised you a throne, did they? Really, Henry? You are not fool enough to believe they will deliver it, said Ripred, breaking into a laugh.
They will deliver it. Together we will rid the underland of crawlers and spinners and share their land among us, said Henry. But why? Why would you do that? Asked Gregor. I am tired of having cowards and weaklings as allies, said Henry. The rats, at least, are not guilty of that. Together we will protect each other. Together we will rule. Together we will be safe. It has been decided.
Together? Together,
said Ripred in a sing-song voice.
What a lot of togetherness you are planning, and what a lot of solitude awaits you. Ah, here are your friends now.
There were at least 50 of them. The rats fanned out quickly and circled the questers. Most of them were laughing, delighted at the rich catch before them. Gregor's eyes darted around. Who would fight on his side? His dad was mumbling something about fish. Boots lay tied to Temp's back, oblivious to the world. Henry was a traitor, so he could count Ares out too, since the pair were bonded. That left him, Luxa, Aurora, Gox, and... Suddenly he didn't know what to think of Ripred. What about Ripred? Whose side was the rat really on?